This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe. Please post it around the internet, if you will. We are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, taking a page out of the Edgar Mitchell book, if you will. Here today, talking about our papal friends, the popes.
I haven't really been following the news, but I recently heard that Robert Evans was the one that was elected the pope.
A Robert from the U.S. was elected pope.
I heard that somewhere within, you know, what I listen to and absorb. Not actual news, but...
I feel like if Robert was the one to become pope, we would get some significant changes with regards to gas station drugs, just over-the-counter drugs, and machetes, which would be a good thing for the Catholic Church.
It's I think we can all agree on that. That we needed, but it's the pope we all wanted. Or is it the reverse? It's the pope we needed. Yep. No, it's the pope we needed. I got it mixed up, damn it. As I do.
I originally wanted to start off with talking about the pope prophecies, which is a big thing that's been around for thousands of years. And then, and by thousands of years, I mean 1,000 years, now that I think about it. But...
Okay, big difference.
Thousands. What's the difference? Yes. It turns out this is probably too mainstream at this point right now for this podcast for a topic. Chelsea and I have our way of discerning these things, and it's just too many people are talking about the Pope prophecy. It's not mainstream, but it ain't fringe. I had to change my route for this. We're going to be talking about Pope-based conspiracies.
I love that we've talked about Pope so much on Journey to the Fringe.
Yeah, if you're ready for it, we're going to go through...
I'm ready for it.
I actually found more conspiracies I could have gone through, but I kept it to 3 that we're going to talk about.
Hey, we've already talked about Pope's conspiracies, so this would be a continuation.
We're leaving out the Nazi stuff.
Damn it, the Nazis are so popular.
This one's kind of Nazi-based, but it's not.
Okay, you always gotta assume there's Nazis.
We start out in the 70s in this one, and then we go back to the 1800s, so it's kind of around, like we skip over the Nazi bits.
Okay, I'm excited for some Pope conspiracies. Let us have some, yes.
We're gonna start out with the first Pope before we were born. We grew up with Pope John Paul II as like the Pope we knew.
Yeah.
How much do you know about Pope John Paul I?
Nothing. I can't say I know anything about any of them, even the one we grew up with.
No, he's the one who brought the Pope Mobile in. Pope John Paul II, he was in an episode of Family Guy.
I know him from that, obviously.
Anyhow, we're going to be talking about Pope John Paul I, which I knew nothing about, and we got to start this off. He was known as the Smiling Pope, which is just like, that's a creepy title.
That is creepy. I gotta Google this. And it just makes me think of Ingrid Cold.
There's a reason Pope John Paul I and II took the same name. And it turns out Pope John Paul I had a very brief stint as Pope.
I was just pondering that, actually.
It took him 4 ballots to get in. His name was Cardinal Albino... I shouldn't say his name was Cardinal. His name was Albino Luciani. He was a cardinal. And he was elected Pope. I believe it was 1978. It doesn't have it here. Despite the fact he had repeatedly claimed he would refuse the papacy should it be offered to him, Luciani
really
accepted the position. Yeah, one of the weird things about this pope, and assumed the position of Pope John Paul I, and he stated, "May God forgive you for what you have done," end quote, when he was accepted.
How's he know what I've done?
His reign lasted 33 days. That's how long
he was. Oh no, gone. That's sad for that guy. Is it because he said that he wasn't going to take it? Is that the conspiracy?
That's actually nothing to do with conspiracy. The conspiracy comes about the death thing here.
Oh, I thought it was then. Then I was going to go to, is it about the smile? So I'm just guessing wrong.
On he all smiled the at the wrong person.
Yep. Too smiley.
Just get the shit beat out of him for being too smiley. Happens to popes all the time.
Yep.
And we're going to start out with the lead up to Pope John Paul. So when Pope Paul VI, right now we have to talk about this. What other job do you get selected for where they say, by the way, pick your nickname? How often does that happen? We'll call you exclusively by it.
I don't know. There could be one.
If Pope wanted to go by the name Daggers, would they just do it?
I would love that for a pope, first of all, and there's so many good names, but why do they do that? Is that the conspiracy?
No, that is not. I just, okay. It's one of those weird things where this is like, presidents don't get to do that. They didn't say to Trump, by the way, what's your nickname for this term?
No.
And he didn't say, I want to go by Snake Eyes because I'm so cool. It's just like, no other job says, by the way, get a new name now. Just, we're going to go by it.
You're right. Like, you're going to die by this name and you've gone by something else for your whole life, but now you're this. Why? Do you know?
No, I have no idea, but I don't want to look into it because I really
feel like it either.
The Cardinals, when they vote, they then go to him and say, by the way, what are we calling you from here on out? And he has a small chance of going by, like, Hot Wheels or something like that. The Pope in the wheelchair, Hot Wheels.
And you know, I hope none of them are like me and you can't put me on the spot and then I got nothing. Just look around and be like a lamp.
Fuck off.
Pope lamp.
No, you don't actually get a Pope name because you didn't say it in time.
Yeah. I would be so fucked.
Pope. You're just
Pope. But you would think that you would submit your Pope name first and then they would pick the coolest name now that we're talking about it.
They could actually vote on who they think has the coolest Pope name. Yeah. I don't know for sure.
And maybe that's why really they make it unbiased. And you don't get the Pope name. And do you think all of them are like, they have their Pope name ready to go? If I'm ever up for Pope, I have to have it ready to go.
I should think of it now. Yeah.
What should mine be? I don't know. Something like...
I would go by Areno.
Areno.
Because then you're Pope Areno. That is great. And it sounds kind of Latin-y, so it sounds like you're kind of going that way. But
do you have to have Pope a first Areno. Or second? Or is it just if you're next up with that name?
No, because like the last one
was Francis. Do you know how many Pope Arenos are going to come after you?
Oh man, so many. Because it's just going to keep going. Pope Areno.
So many. That's a good one. It's just going to be all Pope Arenos after that. It's so good. There's no other choice.
What are names? Who wants to be a Leo or a John Paul?
Pope Areno the 16th. 375.
And if we ever get a female pope, there can be a Pope Arenas.
Who are we kidding? There'll never be a female pope.
No, there will not.
Nope.
Anyhow. Pope Paul VI, he dies, and the College of Cardinals hope that they would find a friendlier pope. Apparently, he was an asshole.
Oh.
And also, you know, I don't know why I didn't put the years in here, but he's like coming, not right off World War II, but pretty sure it's the 70s at least. So like, he's Nazi adjacent, at best. I think they realized, man, there's a lot of Nazi ties here. We gotta make this look a little better.
Is that why he's smiling?
They wanted a new pope that would be approachable and give the papacy a warmer air than he had given off in the past. And they got their wishes with Pope John Paul I. No idea why. He smiled.
Okay. Once?
He was known for his humor and good nature. And John Paul I became an instant favorite, especially... He had to become an instant because he didn't have that much time. Especially amongst the younger members of the Catholic Church. However, rumors quickly arose that there were discontent about the choice with the College of Cardinals.
Oh no.
Some rumors suggested that certain members of the college had pushed for a more conservative voice and were unhappy with such a modern, open candidate. And others suggested that Pope John Paul I wasn't Papable. Yeah, I think that's how you say that. It's P-A-P-A-B-I-L-E. I think it's papable.
Yeah, let's go with that. Saying,
okay. Or didn't have the personal qualifications for the job. Nonetheless, the first few weeks of John Paul I's papacy went smoothly and were without incident. However, on the morning of September 29th, 1978, I was right, it was 78, Sister Vicenza entered the Pope's room to check on him, after noticing that he had yet to come out for his morning coffee. To her horror, she found him dead in his bed. She quickly summoned another sister to confirm that what she'd found, and a younger nun named Sister Margarita. Both nuns reported that the Pope's skin was cold and that his nails were surprisingly dark. The official report claimed that Pope John Paul I was found lying in his bed with a book opened beside him and the reading light on. The official cause of death, according to the Vatican doctor, was a heart attack occurring at 11 p.m., so like 8 hours earlier. Now, discrepancies in the Vatican account of the evening surrounding Pope John Paul I's death, its inaccurate statements about who found the body and what he had been reading, when, where, and whether an autopsy had been carried out, produce a number of conspiracy theories from here.
What?
That's actually going to be an important part that we'll talk about once we get there. It should be noted. Oh, it's the next line, in fact. I'm sorry. Well, just
that was amazing foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing for literally the next sentence. It needs to be noted that in Vatican law, popes cannot be autopsied. Super important, weirdly enough.
So what?
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
What are they ruling this on? Just like...
looks like a heart attack.
Whatever the hell they want. Yeah.
We can't look inside, but looks like a heart attack. After death, Pope's bodies are allowed to be embalmed, but they can't be autopsied because that's considered a desecration of the body and thus illegal under papacy law. I don't have the specifics of it. The Wikipedia article has a link. I didn't go there. I just found that really interesting.
What else is in the papacy law?
You can't diddle with the Pope's body, but like they can do it to everybody else.
Use of the word diddle.
Hi.
I don't know. It just gives me weird vibes.
It was about a pope.
Okay, I'm on the papacy law page. Oh my god, every time I see anything with a pope in canon, I just picture them being shot out of a cannon.
Can you just control F really quick for diddling?
Yep. Diddle. Okay. Not a thing.
Oh not man, I was way off. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Because, again... died suddenly in his sleep, discovered hours later, no autopsy is done. Obviously, people are going to think this is a little weird.
Yeah, I think it's weird.
People come out with conspiracies. So in 1984, David Yalup wrote a book called In God's Name, and he proposed the theory that the Pope had been in potential danger because of corruption in the Vatican Bank.
Oh no.
Known officially as the Institute for Works of Religion, the Vatican's most powerful financial institution, which owned many shares in Banco Ambrosiano. The Vatican Bank lost several $100 million during the scandal. The corruption was real and is known to have involved the bank's head, Bishop Paul Marcinkos, along with Roberto Calvi of the Banco Ambrosiano. Marcinkos, at the time, head of the Vatican Bank, was indicted in Italy in 1982 as an accessory in $3.5 billion collapse of Banco Bresciano. Calvi was a member of P2, an illegal Italian Masonic lodge, and he was found dead in London in 1982 after disappearing just before the corruption became public. His death was originally ruled a suicide, and a second inquest ordered by his family then returned an open verdict, which I think means that they weren't sure what killed him.
Okay.
In October of 2002, forensic experts appointed by Italian judges concluded that the banker had been murdered. In his 2012 book, The Power and the Glory, Inside the Heart of John Paul II's Vatican, Yelup writes that Luciani had been given a list of 121 Masons, and on September 28th, the day of his death, had advised Jean-Marie Villot, at the time Cardinal Secretary of State, with personnel transfers. Yelup specifically summarized his conspiracy theory in his 1984 book. Three archbishops, Marcinkus, Villot, and Cody, conspired with three mafia types, Calvi, Sindona, and Jelly, in the murder of John Paul I. Quote from the book. It was clear that these six men, Marcinkus, Villo, Cody, Calvi, Sindona, and Jelly, had a great deal to fear if the papacy of John Paul I should continue. All of them stood to gain in a variety of ways if John Paul I suddenly died. End quote. Theologian Abbe Jorge de Nantes spent much of his life building a case for murder against the Vatican, collecting statements from people who knew the Pope before and after his election. His writings go into detail about the bank and about John Paul I's supposed discovery of a number of Freemason priests in the Vatican, along with a number of his proposed reforms and devotions to Our Lady of Fatima. In his 2017 book, The Godmother Madre Pascalina, Friar Charles Murr writes about the coincidence that Pope John Paul I had attempted to discipline Cardinal Sebastiano Baggio, who appointed many liberal bishops, including later the defrocked ex-Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, and that Baggio was the last person to have seen Pope John Paul I alive. And in another book, When the Bullet Hits the Bone, which was published in 2019, Anthony Raimondi says he helped his cousin Archbishop Paul Marcinkus kill the Pope by putting Valium in his tea to knock him out and then poisoning him with cyanide. The reason given was that John Paul had allegedly threatened to expose, quote, a massive stock fraud run by the Vatican insiders, end quote. Raimondi says that plans were made to assassinate John Paul II had the latter decided to expose the fraud. Raimondi says that, quote, if they take the Pope's body and do any type of testing, they will still find traces of the poison in his system, end quote. Mm. And when somebody dies after 33 days and is found dead in their bed and they can't do an autopsy, many people are going to be suspicious of killing them. So that's Pope John Paul I's conspiracies there.
I fully agreed that he was definitely murdered.
I could probably write a book on this. Like, that is the perfect place to kind of say, oh yeah, he was definitely murdered.
Oh, definitely. Especially, you leave it open, especially when you don't do an autopsy.
Yeah.
You're just leaving yourself open for that. And I would like to say that I thought of my Pope name.
Yes?
Ina. Popina.
Popina. Popina, I like it.
Yeah, thank you. Took a lot of brain power. But now I feel prepared going into it if I was to ever be elected Pope.
Good. That's good. I feel like that's half the battle, is being confident enough to say, I will be Pope and this will be my name.
Yeah, and I feel like if they change the way that they elect the popes and they decide based on your name, I am a shoo-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for all the people that are listening. Don't steal my Pope name. Don't do it. I know it's good.
That's the problem here, is we don't actually know how it's done. There's that new movie that came out like right around this time that actually outlines how it all works.
Really? I'll never watch that.
Oh yeah, it's an HBO show. I forget what it's called. Yeah, it's not something I will watch.
No. But I'd rather speculate.
It's so much better. There's too many shows that like they ruin basically things because they explain things, when it's so much better left it to just wild imaginations.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Like these guys. Like these guys in this murder.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. It's all related.
Yeah, don't do the autopsy. We need this.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, was that the whole conspiracy?
Yeah, basically he died, and there's a whole bunch of different people who claim, like, why he died.
I love that too long didn't read. Okay, what's the next one? I'm excited.
Now that I'm looking at how much time we've gone through, I think we're only going to get through two of these, but that's okay. Because the next one is Pope John Paul II. We're just going to keep these two guys together.
Did he come after, like, right after the first one?
Oh, right after, yeah.
Really? Why did he go with that name? He was just murdered.
I know, and I actually think it had a lot to do with the fact that that was just the Pope, and he was carrying on his papacy. I would have to look more into it, but
okay, Pope John Paul I might as well speculate.
Being called the Smiling Pope, and what Pope John Paul II does during his time makes me believe he was trying to carry on the legacy of Pope John Paul I, being the Smiling Pope.
Yeah, I could see it, I guess, from the little I know about the Pope.
And just releasing Joker bombs like throughout the towns and having people sardonic grins on their faces.
Okay, that sounds...
That's what I remember about Pope John Paul II.
I don't know. I don't really remember anything, except I was there for his death.
Oh, good.
Which doesn't sound ominous at all.
Did you autopsy him? You're not supposed to.
You're not allowed to. That's where I learned that. They said, ma'am, get back. You are not allowed to autopsy that Pope. I was prepared to, though.
Okay.
Yep.
And Chelsea, we almost had back-to-back really short Pope stints in the 70s. Because there was an assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II in 79.
Are we going to talk about the Pope-mobile?
We're not going to talk about it specifically, except for right now where I say this is where the Pope-mobile comes from. Because he had an assassination attempt on his life. But he does survive it. So we end up going actually like, I don't know, like 25 years with the same Pope. He had a long reign, right?
I guess so, yeah.
He made it into Family Guy times. That's all I know.
Yeah, that seems like a long time.
He was elected like shortly after the death of Pope John Paul I. In 1979, the New York Times reported that, and I don't know how to pronounce this name. I truly am sorry. I didn't look up how to say it. He's Turkish. So I think his name's Ogsay or Ogsa. I'm going to call him Ogsa from here on out, whom the New York Times called, quote, the self-confessed killer of an Istanbul newspaperman, end quote, have described the Pope as, quote, the mass leader of the Crusades, end quote, and threatened to shoot him if he did not cancel his planned visit to Turkey, which went ahead in late November of 1979. So the Pope went and visited Turkey, really upsets this guy. Paper also said that the killing would be in revenge for then the still ongoing attacks on the Grand Mosque in Mecca, which had begun on November 20th. And which he blamed on the United States or Israel. Didn't really matter, one or the other, they're the same. Beginning in August of 1980, Ogsa, under the alias of Bilperi, began crisscrossing the Mediterranean region, altering passports and identities, perhaps to hide his point of origin in Sofia, Bulgaria. He entered Rome on May 10th, 1981. According to Ogsa's later testimony, he met with three accomplices in Rome, one a fellow Turk and two Bulgarians, with the operation being commanded by Zilo Vasilev, the Bulgarian military attaché in Italy. He said that he was assigned this mission by Turkish mafioso Bakir Selenk in Bulgaria. According to Ogsa, the plan was for him and the backup gunman, Oral Selik, to open fire on the Pope in St. Peter's Square and to escape to the Bulgarian embassy under the cover of the panic generated by a small explosion. On May 13th, Ogsa sat in the square waiting for the Pope to arrive. When the Pope passed...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Through a crowd of supporters, Ogsa fired four shots at 5:17 p.m. and critically wounded him. He fled the scene as the crowd was in shock and disposed of the pistol by throwing it under a truck, but was grabbed by Vatican security chief Camillo Sabin, a nun, and several spectators who prevented him from firing more shots and escaping, and he was arrested. By the way, if this was like modern day, can you imagine like the rendition on screen of this assassin being taken down by nuns and bishops?
I'm surprised it hasn't been made into a movie still, actually. Like specifically a Steven Seagal movie.
Wait, who does Steven Seagal play?
The nun.
Oh yeah, that makes sense, it does.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? It probably is a made-for-TV movie in Russia. That guy's big.
It's true. Or Bulgaria, too.
Of the four bullets, two hit John Paul II. One struck him in the torso, nearly missing vital organs, and a second hit his left index finger.
What?
Two bystanders were also injured. Anne Orde of Buffalo, New York was struck in the chest, and Rose Hall of Massachusetts was slightly wounded in the arm. The Pope was immediately rushed to the hospital while the authorities combed the site for evidence. Salik panicked and fled without opening fire. That's the,
I didn't know he was hit.
Oh, yeah. He probably was very close to death, like hitting the organs.
Yike.
Oxa was sentenced in July of 81 to life imprisonment for the assassination attempt, but was pardoned by Italian President Carlo Azeglio Ciampi in June 2000 at the Pope's request. And Chelsea, there's going to be a little bromance that happens here, which is going to just startle you. So we're just going to keep going.
Okay.
He was then extradited to Turkey, where he was imprisoned for the 1979 murder of left-wing journalist Abdi İpekçi and two bank raids carried out in the 70s. Despite a plea for early release in November 2004, a Turkish court announced that he would not be eligible for release until 2010. Nonetheless, he was released on parole in January of 2006. However, near the end of January of 2006, the Turkish Supreme Court ruled that his time served in Italy didn't count towards his prison sentence, so he had to go back to jail.
The Pope wanted to release him?
Oh yeah, no, the Pope said release him from Italian jail, and then he went back to Turkey and they put him back in jail.
The Turks were just thinking logically on that one. They're like, he's for sure a criminal.
Oh yeah.
Like, put him in jail.
It's not just he killed the Pope, there was all this other crimes.
Yeah. We're not just gonna forgive him because this guy's clearly gonna do more shit.
But he did get released from jail on January 18th, 2010, after 29 years in bars. Following the shooting, Pope John Paul II asked people to pray for my brother Oxa, whom I have sincerely forgiven, end quote. In 1983, he and Oxa met and spoke privately at Rome's Rabibbia prison, where Oxa was being held. Oxa reportedly kissed the Pope's ring at the conclusion of their visit, and the Pope was also in touch with Oxa's family over the years, meeting his mother in 1987 and his brother, Muzin Oxa, a decade later. Although Oxa was quoted as saying that, quote, to me the Pope was the incarnation of all that is capitalism, end quote, and attempted to murder him, Oxa developed a friendship with the pontiff, and in early February 2005, during the Pope's illness, Oxa sent a letter to the Pope wishing him well. So
I'm very confused about a lot of those things that you just said.
It's a little confusing. Is that not like the most Jesus thing that you could do, though?
Yeah, but the thing that I find funny about it is the Pope's like, I forgive you, release him onto us, back into the people. And then he just like does more bad shit.
I think you're a little confused. He didn't do more bad shit. The bad shit that he did was pre-attempting to murder the Pope.
Oh, he did it before. It was in the 70s. This guy obviously needed to go to prison for his crimes. It's not just, I forgive you, release him back into the people because I am the Pope and I forgive you. Yeah, just like you said, like, this is so Jesus of him. But like, he still needs to pay for that crime by society. Standards. So I just think it's funny that he thinks that he overrules that.
He's the freaking Pope, as he says in Family Guy.
The other comment I was gonna make is that I love that this guy's like, fuck capitalism, I'm going after the Pope, the center of capitalism.
Chelsea, he's not that off base when you look at the history of Christianity and the Catholic Church.
No, I totally get it. I just think there's probably like someone better to go after for capitalism than like the Pope. Like, I get they're corrupt and yeah, capitalism with the Catholic Church as well, but I just feel like symbolically I would go after somebody else.
I think there's a Luigi out there who had a better idea for thwarting capitalism.
I was literally just thinking that. I think he chose a good one.
You know what? Pope Luigi might not be a bad way to go.
No, going after an insurance CEO versus the Pope, maybe there was something with that too. So, I don't know. You're definitely going to get more coverage on the Pope.
Yeah, but you know what? If you actually look at Pope Francis over the time of his reign, he actually, of modern popes, was pretty anti-capitalist. He had a lot of statements about how pretty evil capitalism was.
Yeah, I mean, you can say it, but still lead the Catholic Church.
Yeah, you can. But
the two don't necessarily align.
Point their guns at insurance CEOs instead of apices.
It just makes you a liar. I'm all for Popino.
I just need to do an aside right now.
So. Popino's the people's pope. That just felt so nice on my lips to say.
No, you gotta be people saying. Pope.
Yeah,
people Popino's pope.
The people pope.
Popeople's pope. Pope Eeple's pope. That's a great one. Eeple pope.
I know. It's Eeple. Really nice.
Yeah.
I hope that they consider that in my application to be the pope.
If you don't take Popino, take Eeple's pope.
I'm Popino, the people's pope.
But, like, Pope Francis did things like he would be given a Lamborghini. And he would autograph it and then auction it off to charity.
Okay, I was like, the Pope driving around in a Lamborghini sounds real nice.
It actually does if he has to wear the hat, like part of the contract.
Oh, yeah. It.
And he was in, like, he was in daily contact with the Gazan church heads to make sure people were doing okay there. Is, like, outstanding for him.
Yeah.
That was actually like one of the last things he was doing was calling, like talking to people in Gaza to make sure they were doing okay.
Interesting.
Which they weren't, but he was at least trying to do something.
I mean, it does take a lot of self-control as a pope to not just get in that.
Not just do wheelies in the Lamborghini instead of calling the people in Gaza who are dying.
Yeah. Okay. He wins with me on that one.
Yeah. But like from this assassination attempt we talked about, Chelsea, the weird thing is, like, what's, like, he kind of vaguely said there was a motive behind it, but it's kind of weird, just like, oh yeah, he's capitalist, so we gotta shoot him. It's kind of vague, so obviously, conspiracy theories jump up around this. So, several theories exist concerning Augustus' assassination attempt. One, which was initially propagated in the American media and strongly advocated since the early 1980s by Michael Ledeen and Claire Sterling, among others, was the assassination attempt originated from Moscow, and the KGB had instructed the Bulgarian and East German Secret Service to carry out the mission. The Bulgarian Secret Service was allegedly instructed by the KGB to assassinate the Pope because of his support of Poland's solidarity movement. The most significant threats to Soviet hegemony in Eastern Europe. However, Noam Chomsky and Edward S. Herman instead term this as a spread of disinformation in the news in their book Manufacturing Consent. I'm guessing if you're listening to our podcast, you've read that book. It is a highly influential book.
What is it called again?
Manufacturing Consent. It's really important for understanding how mainstream media works, particularly in the 1980s moving forward. So, as there was no evidence to support this claim, while Wolfgang Achner of The Independent dubs this as one of the most successful cases, certainly the most publicized, of disinformation, basically saying this was just to make the USSR look bad. Not a lot of evidence behind this theory. Now, Agsa himself gave multiple conflicting statements on the assassination at different times. His attorney, Antonio Marini, stated, Agsa, quote, Agsa has manipulated all of us, telling us hundreds of lies, continually changing versions, forcing us to open tens of different investigations, end quote. Originally, Agsa claimed to be a member of the Marxist Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, but that group denied that he ever had ties to them.
That doesn't seem congruent with what you said about the Pope in Gaza.
Different Pope. Pope Francis, like the most recent one, had a good
Okay. I totally misread that. Misheard.
Following the assassination attempt, Agsa made claims while in custody that prior to the attempt, he had made several trips to Sofia, Bulgaria, where he claimed to have had contact with a Bulgarian agent in Rome, whose cover was the Bulgarian National Airline Office. Soon after the shooting, Sergei Antonov, a Bulgarian working in Rome for Balkan Air, was arrested based on Agsa's testimony and accused of being a Bulgarian agent who masterminded the plot. In 1986, after a 3-year trial, he was found not guilty. According to the CIA's chief of staff in Turkey, Paul Henze. Agca later stated that in Sofia, he was once approached by the Bulgarian Secret Service and Turkish mafiosi, who offered him 3 million German marks to assassinate the Pope. Some writers, including Edward S. Herman, co-author with Frank Broadhead of The Rise and Fall of Bulgarian Connection, and Michael Parenti, believed Agca's story was dubious, as Agca made no claims of Bulgarian involvement until he had been isolated in solitary confinement and visited by Italian military intelligence. On September 25th, 1991, former CIA analyst Melvin Goodman claimed that his colleagues, following orders, had falsified their analysis to support the accusations. And he declared to the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee that, quote, the CIA hadn't any proof, end quote, concerning this alleged, quote, Bulgarian connection, end quote. Neither the Severino-Santiapici court nor the investigation by Judge Franco Ionta found evidence that the Italian intelligence planted Agca's story. A French lawyer, Christian Roulette, which is a really weird name.
Yeah, so?
I don't know. It sounds like a game, just Christian Roulette, who authored books blaming Western intelligence agencies for the assassination attempt, testified in court that the documentary evidence he referred to actually did not exist. Mm. A French newspaper, Le Monde Diplomatique, alleged that Abdullah Khatli, the leader of the Grey Wolves, had organized the assassination attempt in exchange for the sum of 3 million German marks for the Grey Wolves. In Rome, Khatli declared to the judge in 1985, quote, that he had been contacted by the BND, the German intelligence agency, which would have promised him a nice sum of money if he implicated the Russian and Bulgarian services in the assassination attempt against the Pope, end quote. According to Colonel Alparslan Turks, the founder of the Grey Wolves, quote, Khatli has cooperated in the frame of a secret service working for the good of the state, end quote. Unfortunately, I don't know who the Grey Wolves are. I think it's just like a terrorist group within Turkish areas. Next up, according to Italian newspaper Corriere della Sera, and yeah, there's gonna be a lot of mispronunciations in this one. Our friend on Spotify is gonna like us a lot on this one. Documents recovered from former East German intelligence services confirmed the 1981 assassination attempt against Pope John Paul II was ordered by Soviet KGB and assigned to Bulgarian and East German agents with the Stasi's to coordinate the operation and cover up the traces afterwards. Marcus Wolf, former Stasi spymaster, denied any links and stated that the files had already been sent in 1995. In March 2006, pending the 2006 Italian general election held in April, the controversial Mitrokhin Commission, set up by Silvio Berlusconi and headed by Forza Italia senator Paolo Guzzanti, supported once again the Bulgarian theory, which had been denounced by John Paul II during his travel to Bulgaria. Guzzanti stated that the leaders of the former Soviet Union were behind the assassination attempt, alleging that the leadership of the Soviet Union took the initiative to eliminate Pope John Paul. Because of his support for Solidarity, relaying this decision to the military secret services and not the KGB. The reports claim were based on recent computer analysis of photographs that purported to demonstrate Antonov's presence in St. Peter's Square during the shooting, and on information brought by French anti-terrorist judge Jean-Louis Bourgier, a controversial figure whose last feat was to indict Rwandese President Paul Kagame on the grounds that he had deliberately provoked the 1994 Rwanda genocide against his own ethnic group in order to take power. According to Le Figaro, Bruguière, who was in close contact with both Moscow and Washington, D.C., including intelligence agents, was accused by many of his colleagues of privileging the reason of state over law. Both Russia and Bulgaria condemned the report. Foreign Ministry spokesman Dmitry Zantsev said for Bulgaria, this case closed with the court's decision in Rome in March of 1986. He recalled the Pope's dismissive comments during his May 2002 visit to Bulgaria. Guzzanti said that the commission had decided to reopen the report's chapter on the assassination attempt in 2005 after the Pope wrote in his last book, Memory and Identity, Conversations Between Millenniums. The Pope wrote that he was convinced the shooting was not Agca's initiative and that, quote, someone else had masterminded it and someone else commissioned it, end quote.
Wow.
The Mitrokhin Commission also alleged Romano Prodi, a former prime minister of Italy, was the KGB's man in Italy. At the end of December 2006, Mario Scaramella, one of the main informers of Guzzanti, was arrested and charged, among other things, of defamation. Cited by La Repubblica, Rome's prosecutor, Pietro Salviti, who was in charge of the investigations concerning Scaramella, showed that Niccolò Pallari, head of the Italian Secret Service, the Italian Military Intelligence Agency, and indicted in Abu Omar case, as well as Sismino No. 2, Marco Mancini, who was arrested in July 2006 for the same reason, were some of the informers alongside Scaramella of Guzzanti. Milan's judges Armando Spatro, man, these Italian names. I'm sorry, it's just there's too many of them at once.
I did notice that.
Milan's judges Armando Spataro, in charge of the Abu Omar case, and Guido Salvini, as well as La Repubblica's reporter Carlo Bonini and Giuseppe Davasno, who discovered the yellow cake forgery affair, which I don't know what that is. I should have checked that out. That is a great title. The investigation also showed a connection between Scaramella and the CIA, in particular through Filippo Marino, one of Scaramella's closest partners since the 1990s and co-founder of the Environmental Crime Prevention Program, who came to live in the United States. In an interview, Marino acknowledged an association with the former and active CIA officers, including Robert Lady, former CIA station chief in Milan, indicted by prosecutors Armando Spataro for having coordinated the abduction of Hassan Mustafa Osama Nasser that led to Abu Omar's case. In 2009, journalist and former U.S. Army military intelligence officer John O'Keller published Spies in the Vatican, the Soviet Union's Cold War Against the Catholic Church, mining mostly East German and Polish secret police archives. Kohler claims the attempt was KGB-backed and gives details in his book. And the date of the attempted assassination, May 13th, 1981, was the 64th anniversary of the apparition of the Virgin Mary to the children at Fatima on May 13th, 1917. On May 13th, 2000, Cardinal Angelo Sedano gave a public address in which he linked then-as-yet-unreleased Third Secret of Fatima to the assassination attempt, while describing the secret as a prophetic vision, which does not describe the photographic clarity, the details of the future events. He also identified the prophecy's bishop clothed in white as the Pope, and repeated John Paul II's impression that a motherly hand had deflected Agsa's bullets. The Vatican revealed the text of the Third Secret itself the same year on June 26, 2000.
He still got hit twice.
Yeah, he still got hit
twice. Nothing was deflected.
Deflected from killing him, I think they would say.
Okay.
And two bullets did not hit him. We do not know if those bullets were deflected by the hands of God.
Sure.
And to other people less worthy of God's protection. While in prison on a remand, Agsa was widely reported to have developed an obsession with Fatima. During the trial, Agsa claimed that he was the second coming of Christ and called on the Vatican to release the Third Secret. His assassination attempt had also come only 11 days after hijacking the Aer Lingus Flight 164 by Lawrence James Doney, an ex-monk who demanded the release of the Third Secret. On March 31st, 2005, just 2 days prior to the Pope's death, Agsa gave an interview to the Italian newspaper La Repubblica, and he claimed to be working on a book about the assassination attempt. La Repubblica quoted Agsa claiming at length that he had accomplices in the Vatican who helped him with the assassination attempt, saying, quote, "The devil is inside Vatican's walls," end quote.
John Paul did release the Third Secret of Fatima, but I cannot find... Oh, hold on, here it is. No, that's not it. I want to know the secret.
But Chelsea, I think that's a reasonable spot to end this episode.
Yeah.
I do like how many different options there are just with these two people and their conspiracies about things that happened to them. They're not that far apart, like a 4-year time span to have this many conspiracies about the Pope and all the different options that come about with it. It's great.
It is great. There's so many. We've already done an episode about this, so this would be a continuation, and we could just continue. We could be a Pope secret podcast, but we're not.
Really good.
We won't, though.
Really, we could just make it like Pope Nazi Connections, and that could be our podcast from here on out. But we would miss out on all the assholes in the UFO community, which is just true. Like our true passion.
We need those to breathe, yes.
But anyhow, I had fun with that, and there are more Pope conspiracies that we can get to at some time in the future. But for now, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.